Tis the season. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy whatever you happen to celebrate, because it is time for the Witches Movie Coven. I am Patty Negri. I'm one of your hosts. And this is Richard Leo Lalar. This is Courtney Buckley. This is Jason Mankey. And this is Heather Green. And this is Black Phillip. I think we should do all our check-ins later, but we do want to wish everybody a happy holidays, happy Thanksgiving if you're celebrating that, or Native American Heritage Day, or just eating turkey because it's the one time a year that you eat turkey, like myself. But as we are getting ready for the holidays, before we even get into this, we wanted to let you know it's time to start shopping. And it's also time to buy holiday cards if you're thinking about buying holiday cards. And just because you asked for it, not out loud, but you asked for it. We have Black Phillip holiday cards. Celebrate deliciously. Be the only one on your block, town, state, perhaps country to have the one and only Black Phillip Celebrate Deliciously holiday card. Good for all December holidays, however you celebrate. Just go to mysterycontrol.com. And I hear from our producer, we might be having a Black Friday sale. So check it out. I know Courtney's ordered everything. Oh, and what is this? This is a holiday t-shirt, also comes in hoodie style for the Black Phillip holiday season. So check it out. And he comes with everything. Anyway, that's our opening pitch. That's our sponsor, ourselves, because shameless self-promotion, it means everything. Does anybody have anything good to check in before we go to just about the holidays, about tomorrow? Is anybody cooking and doing stuff like that?
I'm going to see a slasher movie.
That's right. That is your tradition. Yeah.
Got my tickets. We're very excited. So instead of slicing up a turkey, we're going to watch people get sliced up on a screen. It's going to be great.
Perfect.
Because, you know, torture him and then kill him. That's my favorite thing. So
that's the short. That is the shirt. That is setting it. We're going to spend it on the Interstate 5 going up to Central California and doing that road trip with husband and dog, which will be really fun. And then I believe we will have turkey when we arrive at his sister's house. So Jason is cooking 45 different dishes. Is Jason cooking 45 different dishes?
I think it's just 7 or 8. I think that's all there is. But I do most of the Thanksgiving cooking. My wife bakes pies, which are done. And the house smells delicious, but I can't eat them till tomorrow. But everything else is all me. Turkey, mashed potatoes, mostly all from scratch. So I'm very excited. It's one of my favorite holidays.
It's a tasty one. Heather, anything special about Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we do the big Thanksgiving dinner too. And I do most of the cooking with my partner, does the turkey. Unfortunately, he is ill. And so I'm going to have to step in and help him. But he does we smoke a turkey. It's delicious. We bake pies. We do all of the tradition and we have the kids back and parents over. And then we read poetry and that's our big Thanksgiving. So we're looking forward to a fun day and it is our launch for the holiday season and the Yuletide. So it becomes our day one it's very nice.
For the season. And speaking of poetry, at the end, perhaps you can give us a nice Thanksgiving poem since that is your tradition.
We will see how well you guys do with the whiz here.
Okay.
Pressure now. Pressure.
I do no cooking. We bring the wine. Richard Lael, any special plan?
First of all, you smoke a turkey, Heather? I've smoked a lot of things, but never a turkey. That's quite a joint to roll.
We'll take pictures for you.
I'm going to be spending my Thanksgiving doing absolutely nothing, which is the best thing for me. I might go for a drive. I got my car back from the auto mechanic. I got to tell you, these New Orleans streets are not good on any car, much less an antique. I got my car back, but who knows how long I'll have it. So I guess I'll be thankful that I have it for the week. And then I will be doing a crossroads ceremony with some friends in the evening. Just a well-wishing for my friend, for blessings to come, thankful for that. And that's all there is.
Richard Lael, if you are around during the day and have nothing to do and want to be thankful for our friendship, we could hang out and do something.
I would love to do that. We'll have to do a video conference.
Yeah, we could do that. Or I could just...
Maybe we'll televise it. I don't know. That could be fun.
Thanksgiving gown. I like that. All right. Well, let's get on to this week's movie. It is The Wiz. 1978, Diana Ross, Michael Jackson. I can to tell you, I never watched it in my entire life until last night. I don't know how I missed it. I don't know where I was in 1978, but it is The Wiz. Before we go on to Heather and all her beautiful academic knowledge of such, Richard Lael, do you have your completely unbiased?
I do have a completely unbiased story to tell. Though you did mention two really big names, Diana Ross and Michael Jackson, you failed to mention the most famous name, Rob Cohen, who is associated with this one, but not our producer, Rob Cohen. Just by the way, it's just another, I had to rewind it. Did that say Rob Cohen? It did say Rob Cohen. Is of course associated with this. So it is a retelling, an imaginative retelling of L. Frank Baum's timeless classic, The Wizard of Oz. And then there's some little loose homages to the 1939 film, but it is all a brand new creation. In fact, it stars a 23-year-old Diana Ross, who is not an 11-year-old girl, and she's a school teacher. She's in New York City because, of course, she is. They wanted to appeal to people of color, so of course she's in New York City. And people of color never farm in the Midwest ever at all. But anyway, they're in New York City. And Toto is this... I don't want to say that word, but Toto likes to inflict harm upon himself and runs out into a blizzard after the most dreadful opening of... Why is she afraid? You don't really know. She's a kindergarten teacher, but having worked with children, I can understand why one would be afraid. Anyways, she runs out to catch Toto in this blizzard and is accosted by a tornado in Manhattan. It's like the lava earthquakes that happen in Manhattan all the time. Like, these things happen. So she's swept away into the dreadful, dreary suburban world of Oz, where, of course, Miss Piggy plays... Oh, that was a different film, wasn't it?
Sure.
She lands kerplunk right in this dreadful sort of scene where all of the munchkins have been turned into graffiti by this witch, but she doesn't have a house to drop on them. So she crashes through a sign and lands in a sandbox in this sort of rundown gym. What is it called? Like children play in it, like a park.
Playground.
Anyway, she's there. The person comes down who's supposed to be the good witch, but she comes down in an elevator because, as Glenda said, not everyone... Was it Glenda? Yes, Glenda. As Glenda said, not everyone floats in a bubble. So she comes down in the elevator, and then there's another useless song that doesn't give her any information, and she has to go off to meet the wizard. Another useless song. And then the first person she meets, she actually meets the Scarecrow, played by the famous Michael Jackson. And unfortunately for the Scarecrow, he is being accosted by a bunch of crows named Jim.
Hi.
And who are taking a break from teasing Dumbo. And you have the pop singer, and he's obviously one of the greatest performers of all time. And what better way to showcase his talent but having him stuck on a pole? And so he, of course, they go off to see the wizard in this incredibly wide shot, like way too wide shot from behind. Of course they are. And then, of course, they go off to, I can't remember now which one comes first. Oh, yeah, I can't. They go to the New York Public Library, where, of course, we're already going to meet a lion in New York City. Of course, you're going to meet it at the New York Public Library. And then, of course, they go follow the Yellow Brick Road through Brooklyn, and it ends up by being at Coney Island, where they meet the Tin Man, who is the most annoying character in the entire film. And his cry was something along the lines of, Oh, goodness. I can't remember. Tee-hee. I don't remember, but it was awful. And anyway, so he's, of course, being sat on by his animatronic wife. And he is the most uncomfortable position because he's a cushion. And it's not a very comfortable cushion. And then they end up by taking the subway, which is terrifying enough. I have taken those subways, okay? It is terrifying. And then because they're being imaginative, trash cans come alive. Ooh, scary. And of course, they lean heavily into all of the tropes. The cowardly lion saves everybody. And of course, the scarecrow has thought all of the plans all the way through. And the Tin Man, he does that weird crying thing. And then they get to Oz, which is the World Trade Center. And they're all dancing this useless weird number. They don't have any homes or anything. They just live right there at the World Trade Center. And they sing about the color green until the Oz, who's in the World Trade Center, decides that it's the color red, which doesn't make any sense. And then they end up by meeting the powerful wizard. And of course, they give it away straight away that he is, of course, just a man who is a failed casino owner in Atlantic City. He's basically the black Donald Trump.
Oh, boom.
And then he says to them, as the voice of Oz, you have to go kill this witch. Up until this point, they have forgotten to introduce the entire movie. She goes into this factory of a sweatshop, and the witch has one of the best songs in the entire film. And of course, what is the witch afraid of? Water. She positions Dorothy right by the sprinkler system, and then her own throne is toilet. For whatever reason, this witch knew that this Dorothy Gale from Kansas, Manhattan, was going to be standing in that position and pull the lever, and all of her sweatshop flunkies could well have pulled the lever too. And then the Wizard of Oz, the Glendo character, comes and sings another song about self-improvement, roll credits, and I want to love it. Yay!
I'm obsessed with you. I'm barely holding it together right now. And fine, unbiased. I'm not sure we watched the same movie, but...
Oh, I watched that one.
Well, fine. Thank you very much, Richard Leo. And Heather? Carol?
I am going to reserve my opinions and my attacks on Richard Leo for later. Right now, I'm going to maintain a very academic position to share with you what was going on and why The Wiz was produced as a movie. So I am going to just take a moment just to calm myself down. I think the comments about useless songs are the things that really are the most upsetting. So I just hold on.
Okay. Watching Heather during that was probably the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Okay. So first, I'm going to start by saying this movie is based on a musical that was a Tony Award-winning musical, 7 Tony Awards in 1975. The original musical was not set in New York City. It was set in Kansas. It is closer to a true adaptation of the books than the movie was. So there's a big difference between the musical and the movie. So we might think, knowing this was the 70s, and everybody who's listening, and all 4 of you have read my book several times, know that the 70s was a time where witch movies were very popular. However, this was not produced for that reason. This was produced because the 1970s showed a phenomenal reaction to the Cultural Revolution of the late 60s, which brought about a lot of entertainment that either featured Black performers or was meant to express Black culture. It found its audience. Broadway, show tunes, that stuff was finding that the people of color actually would pay for tickets. They were finding that. They were discovering that finally. And Hollywood, of course, was doing that. You had Blaxploitation. You had a lot of films that featured all Black casts who expressed Black experience in America. This was happening in the 70s for the first time. It wasn't perfect, no, but it was happening. And so when the Broadway show was so successful, the Hollywood, of course, just went, okay, let's do this. Let's pick also some famous actors, performers to do the roles. They wanted to make The Wiz more accessible to a broader audience. Now, in terms of broader audience, that is, of course, people who can't afford to go to a Broadway show or who are not there in New York to go to a Broadway show. But it also means white audiences. So that's one of the reasons you have these really popular performers in there and why it moved to New York, in my estimation. That's my assessment. However, what happened was they picked the director and the writer who adapted it from the Broadway to the screen were both older white men. And so a lot of the criticisms this movie had, because it was a flop, was that the movie didn't express the same power, the same culture, the same vibrancy that the Broadway show possessed, that being one of the reasons. It also was criticized for being overdone. Of course, Dorothy was criticized. Why is she 27 years old? So there was a lot of backlash against this. But at the same time, it did capture a lot of people's love. It did capture an audience. It did capture people because of the music, because of what it was trying to do. However, I do like to turn to, whenever I talk about this movie, Donald Bogle and other academics who are people of color, because we don't have the same reaction as people who are part of that culture seeing it differently. And that's important. And he did point out, he's a professor of film and PhD, all the things, and as well as being a person of color. He said that this movie actually killed Hollywood's interest in all Black casts. And it, because it was such a failure, Hollywood said, no, we're not going to do this, not going to make money. And it wasn't until Spike Lee came in the 80s that Hollywood renewed its interest. So I think it has a moment. It wasn't made because it's a witch film, but it actually happened during the witch craze of the 70s. And it has a lot of things. There's so much I could talk about with regards to witches. There's so many things to talk about, regardless of whether it's a good film or not. And I'll react to that later as I calm down and get my thoughts together. Still, I'm still, part of me still reeling from Richard Lale's moments. I'm just going to leave it there.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. On that note, who wants to go first? Courtney?
That's me. So I had never seen this movie before today. And I got out of work early. And I thought, instead of waiting till the very last minute, I'm just going to lay down and watch it on the TV. And I put it on. And as I was putting it on, I saw the runtime, which was 2 hours and 14 minutes. And you guys know I love to hex people. And I was scribbling on a piece of paper, like my little notepad that I take my notes on. I was starting to write Witches Movie Coven because I was going to do a hex. And then I turned it on and I got about 10 minutes into it and fell asleep, I think, in self-defense. Then I came back. And I had to rewatch it or start to rewatch it later. Full disclosure, I did not watch the full movie. I got about halfway through. Also, full disclosure, I'm not a fan of The Wizard of Oz to begin with. I took a couple of notes. The first one was Snownado, because I was screaming out loud what was happening. It's a Snownado. And I was intrigued by that. And then one of the notes that I wrote was the subway scene with 4 question marks, because I couldn't sum it up any better than that, because I kept yelling out loud, what is happening? Like, why are the trash barrels eating them? Why are the posts coming alive? Like, it was a lot. But I did also write down the Ease On Down the Road song, I Will Hear in My Sleep Forevermore. That's my new favorite song. Like, the songs were amazing. Mm-hmm. I loved the songs. Ease On Down the Road. That's my new theme song. Yeah, can't do it. Other than that, not my favorite thing that I've ever seen. In fact, I think I texted you guys. I was out loud pronouncing that I was wishing it was the Muppets Wizard of Oz. I also believe that I could be quoted in saying that I wished I would have rather watched The Witch Who Came from the Sea than Maisie.
You are not getting a poem.
I will I love you so much. And I kept the whole time I was watching it, I was like, I'm so sorry, Heather. I'm so sorry. But I did find something positive to say. The songs were great.
Every time I see Heather holding her hands, I think it's to hold them so she doesn't strangle anyone through the screen. Because it feels like that's going to happen.
Can I just real quick, Chad, first of all, Chad, you should probably have been on tonight instead of me because you have a lot more to say about this than I do. Well, but also the angry fighting trees. Yeah, I don't like that either. I think it's crazy.
That's a great point. Yeah. Thank you, Chad.
I'm not a fan of the Wizard. I think this would have been a lot different if I was a fan of the Wizard of Oz, and I'm just not. So I don't think I'm
qualified. I love that, Courtney.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. My little head is there. So I guess I will go next. I liked it. I had never seen it before. I am the world's biggest fan of Wizard of Oz, the original one. Still one of my all-time favorite movies, period. End of story. And I don't know why I didn't see this one. And it really seems very much of the decade for me. I have a dance background and I was a dancer when I was young. And I love seeing the dancing, that whatever that weird style was, not Fosse, post Fosse, but it was this, not even necessarily a black, it was just this. And I just loved it. Towards the end, when they took off those funny outfits and they were in their little white underwear, that was so beautiful. It was a ballet type dance. And there were so many people. And I know in 78, they weren't making them on AI. They were real people. And it was just breathtaking to me. I do think the acting was a little weird, maybe because it was a Broadway play turned to whatever. It just seemed pushed. Everything seemed pushed. Even some of the musicality. But I mean, there's Lena Horne. There is all these amazing people. And I do love the music. But it's like, maybe the songs could have been one verse less just for the whole thing of the movie. But basically, it was so 70s. I think Michael Jackson was young then, really young, but they could have done his makeup better because it just looked like this plastic prosthetic thing was going to fall off. And he was too cute to be that, not too cute of a.
And I will tell you, though, the good thing about having Michael Jackson in this film at this point is that he was the right color in 1978 to be in that film.
Exactly. He was still black. Yes, he was. And I like how they played with, again, I'm not compared to the book, but to the movie, what they did with the costuming and everything else, making it different. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. Just thought it was a little too pushed, a little too long. One verse less on any of the songs in itself could have taken off 15 minutes. But I thought it was, for its day, again, 78, that's what, 45 years ago. That's pretty amazing. And I liked it. That's it. I can't remember until anybody else talks next. Jason.
I grew up watching this movie because I had HBO at a young age, and they would occasionally show this over the course of a month. And every time it was on, I would stop and I would watch The Wiz because it looked cool. That it's a beautiful movie in so many ways. I like the weird dystopian sets quite a bit. I'm not sure that it works necessarily, but it's still really fun to watch and to look at. And I grew up knowing Ease On Down the Road. That is a banger. It's as good as anything in the 1939 movie. It's one of the best songs probably ever in a movie musical. It's really great. So I have like deep feelings for this movie. However, I hadn't seen it from start to finish in quite a while. And everybody in the comments keeps talking about how long this movie is. It is way too long. It is 30 minutes longer than the 1939 Wizard of Oz. And Joel Shoemaker, who wrote the movie and later directed Batman and Robin, part of me thinks he was getting paid by the word or something. It's just way too long. And I wish they had not taken the liberties that they did and really had based it on the musical instead of rewriting the entire script, which is what Schumacher did. He threw everything else out. All they kept were the characters, obviously, and some of the characters are actually from the Broadway production. But they changed all the lines, all of that. And that's a real shame because I think it would have been a better, more solid movie had they not made some of those changes. Even though, as I said, Itopia in New York City.
Thank you.
I'm going to jump in here, and I think I agree with Jason. I think they should have stayed closer to the actual musical, but my theory is, and I did not do, I would love to find the documents of why they changed it so much. My theory is because of this idea that they had to make it more, not accessible, that's the wrong word. They had to appeal to a broader audience, which included white folk who were not going to accept just a remake of The Wizard of Oz, which is this beloved thing, where there would have been a negative reaction to that. And I'm hitting on a racism there. There would have been this negative reaction of this just redoing something like that, which it isn't, which the play, which I just saw last week, incidentally, there is going to be a revival on Broadway starting in April of next year. And the cast that I saw is going to Broadway. It was phenomenal. It was obviously upgraded to some degree for current audiences with jokes and stuff. It was a barrel of laughs. It was poignant. It was fun. All of the music that was in the play is in the movie, with the exception of two songs. They took out the Wiz's songs because Richard Pryor is not a song. They weren't going to make Richard Pryor sing. They made the Wiz Richard Pryor. It was just Richard Pryor. So they changed the Wiz character a bit, but it was phenomenal. So if you're if you see the tour, or if you can get to Broadway and see the revival of it, it is so much fun. It is so well done. The cast is absolutely phenomenal, and it's totally different than the movie. And I grew up like Jason, watching this over and over. HBO. I am a big fan of musicals. The late 70s musicals were having a moment in the late 70s, so I was all about that. Think it's Grease, New York, Cabaret, all these musicals. And I loved it. I actually was a munchkin in The Wiz at one point during my early years on stage, which is funny, but we won't go there. And I have always loved it. And I loved it because of the music, because I am such a huge show tune fan. I'm such a huge musical fan. And like Patty, a huge Wizard of Oz fan. So there was nothing this movie could do that was wrong when I was younger, except I grew up in urban New York metro. The scene in the subway scared me. Like literally, viscerally scared me. And they scared me more than the trees, because I didn't see trees. I didn't grow up in the country. I grew up in that environment, in New York City environment. So it was real to me. But I love this musical for reasons that it just part of my growing up, because I love musicals, because it's brilliant. It's a point in time. It expresses the Black experience in ways that I can see as a film historian, as well as a person and an American, and just I can see, but there's in ways that I can't see as well. And I know that it's an important movie. It's an important musical. It's an important piece of pop culture. Unfortunately, the movie failed to meet the expectations of the musical, which is very sad. It's sad for so many reasons, because of the great stars that are in it. Lena Horne, oh my goodness. She's such an amazing actress, and she was with the Star Babies. That's my biggest complaint. What are those floating Star Babies?
I do like the Star Babies. They look like they were being tortured.
You know, as a kid, I was like, I loved the whole thing. I didn't care. I hated the Lion, Be a Lion song, because there's a point where the movie does slow down. And as a kid, I was like, okay, whatever, Be a Lion. But now watching it, I'm like, oh gosh, the Star Babies, what is with that? But it's a really conflicted for me. It's very conflicted, because I love this musical, and I hope the revival is successful. I hope it continues to live on, and maybe one day they did the live The Wiz. NBC did it. It was good. Not like seeing it on the stage, though. Not like seeing it on the stage. And maybe they'll redo the movie. Maybe they don't need to, but it's an important movie in movie history, in film history, and it's a fantastic musical. See it on the stage, Courtney. See it on the stage.
See, I would totally. I'm a huge fan of musicals. I love the theater. I would absolutely watch this on the stage, especially with what you guys are saying, that it's a completely different thing. I just think that the movie itself isn't it. I would love it just because it was live and in front of me. no matter what, they, like, you could be sacrificing someone on the stage, and I would be like, yes, absolutely. But I just
mean, not all schools sacrifice all the people.
Well,
on the stage.
Wasn't,
I love that.
That wasn't a good example because I would actually buy tickets to that. But I wanted to jump in and say, like, the subway scene scared you when you were a kid. I'm 37 and I was terrified. I was getting nightmares. It was so scary.
The taxi cabs too.
Also, yeah, no. Why did the taxi cabs look like they were inflatable? And is the Star Babies when, okay, because there was the scene when the snow NATO takes her up and then she's like going horizontally across the screen like this for no reason. And then there's the crashes into the Oz sign for whatever that was. And then there was the things were all around. I was watching it on my phone at that point, to be fair, so I didn't get a close-up. But like, what were those? Were those the Star Babies?
Babies?
Or did I miss this?
The Star Babies you miss because they're like behind Lena Horne when she's singing.
No.
And they're babies. They're literally babies floating in the sky.
I need a picture of this right now. Star
it's
babies.
Right before Diana Ross sings Home. It's right before the end. It's Lena Horne's only song, unfortunately. But yeah. It's
and meanwhile, they gave the Tin Man two songs for the Tin Man.
And you know what?
What are these?
I just want to say the Tin Man songs, they're in different locations in the movie, in the play. And it is really poignant and perfect. And when you have a really good, it was well done and it made sense. It didn't make sense in the movie. It made sense. It makes sense in the musical the way they do it.
I have a question. You know how a lot of movies, they don't do good, but then they pick up steam. What did this one pick up steam or it just was a flop and never was?
It was a flop and that was it. I think the only, I think from what I understand is that it has, it's retained an audience because of what it is. And because it does have in the all black cast during a period of time, it has historical purpose and it has some expressions of things and it's, you know, and also beloved Jason and I watched it and there's tons of people out there who watched it and the music is phenomenal. So I think it has, but it's not like it picked up steam. I don't believe Hocus Pocus. Like we talk about Hocus Pocus or
memory serves. It was the most expensive musical to produce at the time. Yeah. And it was something like $22 million. If memory serves, it only made like $23 million.
Yeah.
Was really, it was a lot of money. To see a failure like that, you have to go way back to The Birth of a Nation, way back, what was that, 1910? I don't know, like 100 and some years.
A well-deserved failure there. Well, there's Disney so many reasons.
Disney had a couple in the 50s, but I do want to add that the one thing that's interesting about this film in terms of witches, because that's what we like to talk about here, is that this was really the first film that offered witches that were people of color, in this case, Black women, that were not othered. So when you, and I talk about that in my book, I talk about othering throughout my book in terms of types of people, whether it's by race or by ethnicity or by country of origin. So in most cases, there were very few Black witches prior to 1970. And then into the 70s, you start to get some, but they're still very much othered. There's still markers of evil or markers of something sinister is going on or voodoo or something else. This is one film that sets apart from that. The witches here are in an all-Black cast. They are good and bad. And just like The Wizard of Oz. So this kind of stands out in terms of witch films as well, which is makes it, again, it's an interesting marker as sometimes even bad films are important. And I'll keep saying that over and over as we go through the years, as we talk about films. But sometimes bad films are important markers, cultural markers, and sometimes we can love bad films. That's okay too. That's okay, Jason. You can love this film.
Yeah,
I love a lot of bad films. I don't love this one.
Like The Witches from the Sea.
I don't love that one either. But like Richard Lael, I know you gave your
like this
unbiased
film was. I was not in. It was really the right headspace to be so nostalgic. Holidays are always pretty difficult for me anyway. So it was maybe had I grown up and had enjoyed holidays, maybe if I would have seen it on TV as a kid, maybe I would have liked it. But again, holidays were always difficult. They're harder for me now as an adult. And I was never exposed to it. So I just felt, I felt it was overly nostalgic, and I didn't, I was not in a good headspace to have been so overtly nostalgic and calling about going home. That's something I don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the saddest parts about this film is the cast. There are great people in this cast, and they're really not utilized very well. Richard Pryor was a huge star at this point in time and one of the greatest stand-up comedians of all time, but he feels shoehorned in here. There's really no reason that Richard Pryor needs to be the wizard. Diana Ross is completely miscast in every way, shape, or form. Richard Lail alluded to how she was actually 34 playing a 24-year-old. And in the Broadway production, it's more of a young Dorothy that we're used to instead of an adult. And even then, she's a diva, and she's playing this sort of shy, introverted, against character for Diana Ross. And it's painful to watch sometimes. Though I will say Michael Jackson is amazing in this film. He steals every scene that he's in. He's electric to watch. He's my favorite part of the movie. I loved Nipsey Russell growing up because he was always like the one of the Hollywood Squares types. He was always on all those game shows. He was very quick, very funny. And he doesn't really get to utilize that in this movie, which is a real shame. You know, there are so many great opportunities that just really weren't seized in this movie.
Right. Why did Lena Horne, even like the poster that Rob was showing, she's not even on the poster.
There she is. There's the Star Babies. See the Star Babies?
They're not dolls, Courtney. They're Star Babies.
They're actually real people. They're actually real kids.
Now we look at the picture back. What is that little thing to the right? It looks like a grown man's face with a tiny, teeny tiny little body.
They're Star Babies. There's tons of them all over.
It looks like a grown adult man with a beard on the right with a little tiny doll body. I just think Lena Horne must have had a not good agent because she doesn't even get billing on the poster. Richard Pryor does and Michael Jackson does, and but not Lena Horne? Was she a star by then?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. This was the end of her career pretty much. I am pretty sure that the reason they cast these people was for the sole reason of being able to attract bigger audience and the wider audiences to an all black cast. And they wanted to bring them that in. So they got all these famous stars. I think they would have done better if Diana Ross had been a fantastic young up and coming. Diana Ross's character, Dorothy, had been a young up and coming star or a Broadway. They would have done better. Mabel King was fantastic.
She's
she did
great.
On Broadway. She was fantastic. She's fine. Like you said, Michael Jackson, I didn't mind either. Nipsey Russell was wrong. And Ted Ross was fine as a lion. So I think they just made a few misses and tried too hard to reach a broader audience. They should have just let it be and let it be who it's going to be. But Hollywood wants to sell as many tickets as possible.
Part of the reason that Ross, Diana Ross, was cast as Dorothy Gale was because originally, and in my research, originally the person who was producing or directing, I can't remember, wanted the original Broadway star. And then Diana Ross heard about it and they said, no, you're not right for the role. But she made a deal with MGM and MGM said, oh yeah, let's go right. Oh, it's Rob Cohen. That's she made a deal with MGM, went over his head. And then he ended up by quitting because he went, you're not right for the role. At least there was some sort of what is the
push
word
back,
I'm looking for?
Backer. Yeah.
But I love Diana Ross. And the music, you're right. The music was great. It was fun. And I love that 70s, 1930s car that was at the World Trade Center that they were dancing around. That was my favorite part of the film. To say that true.
We all have our areas that we like. Well, that's interesting. Do we have any quotes, Miss Courtney?
I have two. Because again, I didn't finish watching the movie, but I do have two. The first one, I was still in shock from the snownado, and I had not yet taken out my notes other than to try to do my little hexing. But I was like frozen with the snownado. And then when she crashed down, and I was just like whiplash, whatever. But then all of a sudden I heard, this chick put the in ugly. And I was like, Okay, great. So I wrote that one down because I like that a lot. And I want, you know, a tattoo of that on my face. And then the only other one, I laughed out loud. The Tin Man said, "The genius who created me only took care of my dashing good looks, my razor sharp wit, and my irresistible attraction to the wrong woman." And I thought that was pretty good. So that was it. That was it. And then the subway.
I had a quote. I want to.
Okay. What is yours?
There was another quote, Courtney, that I was so certain you were going to add, and that's why I didn't mention it earlier. But that quote was when they're putting oil on the tin can and in the Tin Man, and he says, "If you don't have an STD, you could try another oil."
Hold on, because I thought he said STD, and I was like, I watched TV with the captions on, right? And my captions, I was watching on Paramount Plus. My captions said STG, and I just thought I didn't get it, but I heard STD, and I got excited.
Well, that's what I heard.
That's what I thought it said, but the caption said something different, so I thought I just misheard it.
Captions are wrong a lot.
I know. It's STD. It's totally STD.
Yeah. I miss that somehow.
That's funny.
STP. Oh, no, it's STP because it's STP oil. Motor oil, which is back then.
STP motor oil.
People used to actually like change their own oil way back in the day.
You can see the logo is like, this is STP. Yeah. That's what he. Yeah, it's in the song.
Yeah.
The one thing I just want to say, Courtney, about the snownado is that when growing up in New Jersey, we actually did have a tornado come through the town. It wasn't a snownado, but it is possible to have tornadoes, although very rare. Well, very rare.
We get them in Massachusetts too, but I feel like I love Sharknado. So it's anytime I see a tornado of like unusual occurrence, it gets me excited. Like in, what was that one? The Warlock, and it was a ghostnado. And then now this one was a snownado. So I thought for a hot second, okay, it's happening. And then what happened was nightmares.
Were tornadoes ever that localized, though, in New York City, Heather, in your experience?
Localized? Like, how do you mean?
It's a very small tornado that seems to have only one target, Savannah Rock.
Maybe the tornado
was being piloted by one of the angry ex-Supremes. Maybe Mary Wilson was extracting her revenge.
It could be. The tornado that came from a town was very tiny, and it went up Main Street for a short period of time. Not sure who it was looking for at the time or why it was there, but it was localized. So you could have gone to something there, Jason. That could be a...
I'm coming for you, Diana Ross. I'm coming for you.
It is a form of witchcraft.
They should have left it the way it was in Kansas. They should have just not added the New York City part of it. As cool as it could have been.
What if, Heather, if they would have left the beginning part in Kansas and then Oz is all of the New York scene?
They could have done that. In fact, with the play version I just saw, when they get to Oz at the first, when they get to Munchlin Land, it's super colorful, as you would expect. But it almost, the way they're dressed and the way they're moving around with the poles and stuff, it almost has a little bit of a New Orleans feel. It's not New Orleans, but it has a little bit of that. So you could do, it's Munchkin Land. You could do anything with that. And so they could have done something really fun with it, not made it as bleak. Like that dark playground, they could have done an urban setting. Again, the movie failed on so many levels that it's very sad now, but I still have a love for it. That's where I am.
Go ahead, Patty.
Well, I did worry about Toto now and again. I don't think it was a very well-trained dog to be right close to her. It's like, where's Toto? Where's Toto? I haven't seen Toto in 10 minutes. And every once in a while, she would miss her because I worry about such things.
Jason, I need you to know that I will never recover from the targeted tornado that's being piloted by something else. I don't know if everybody saw, I'm sure he did, that I just literally almost died. I couldn't breathe. I was having
Courtney, sleep. I just want you to know that's my Thanksgiving gift to you.
When we go around and say what we're thankful for, that is number one on my list.
Thank you. I get that a lot from people. I really do.
I imagine.
Okay, I think we actually have time for a poem. I don't know if we want to vote on the movie first and then poetry.
Does Jason have a movie minute?
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry. I have non-turkey brain.
Look at Robert right in there. Let's hear Jason's trailer. All right. I appreciate everyone's excitement. All right.
I don't know if I'll survive it.
I don't know. I don't think it's sometimes I don't really think they're my best work. Here we go. It's Dorothy Gale, like you've never seen her before. As a 34-year-old elementary school teacher, wonder aloud as Aunt Em chastises her adult niece for only being an elementary school teacher, encouraging Dorothy to make the leap into the big time and teach in high school. Looking for a Thanksgiving film? The Wiz is one, with an opening scene set at Thanksgiving before Dorothy is transported into Oz by the weirdest snow cyclone in the history of New York City. Once in Oz, marvel at just how long The Wiz is. Characters that talk. And talk some more. It's as if screenwriter Joel Schumacher, who later went on to direct Batman and Robin, the movie with the bat nipples, was getting paid by the word. Seriously, The Wiz is 30 minutes longer than The Wizard of Oz from 1939. Despite my many misgivings, I find it impossible to completely badmouth a movie that has Lena Horne in it and Mabel King as the Wicked Witch of the West. She just brings it. She's terrific. There's also the great Richard Pryor in a role that he probably shouldn't have had and a scene-stealing Michael Jackson. But The Wiz just goes on and on. Maybe instead of easing on down the road, they should have eased up on the runtime.
That is beautiful. So between our opening credits for Shirley and our closing credits from Jason, now we vote. The Wiz, 1978. Wands up, wands down.
Can I specifically say, I'm voting up for its cultural significance, but as a film that I have to watch.
I can't be 100% up. This is a noble failure, but it is noble. And there are parts of it that are terrific, but it also just, I think Heather's with me, just doesn't work all the way through.
Most of the way through.
I was trying to be kind.
Yeah.
In the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah. So you've got crooked versions of up or up and then completely down. One's down, one's up. A limpy wand. No. Richard Nails went with limpy very fast. I don't know. I think it's mixed. I think everybody's trying to like it more than maybe they did for all the reasons mentioned. But I still, because I'm so easy, enjoyed it immensely, and I like the dancing. So there we go. 75% up for the music, color, dancing, and the cultural significance, down a lot for other reasons. Alicia, thank you. Very well put.
Yeah. So 100% up for the musical. Go see it. It's touring right now. It's going to be on Broadway in April. Go see it if you can, because it'll change your whole perspective on the whole experience of the movie.
Say that my wand, I was holding my wand like this, but then it dropped itself like this.
So the limp wand syndrome.
I tried really hard and the wand spoke for itself.
You might want to get that looked at, Courtney.
Yeah.
You
just might call my doctor.
Mm-hmm. There's help with that. All right. And what are we doing next week?
Spirited Away.
By
Studio Ghibli.
And what year was it from? So I make sure I get the right one. Do we know? Or approximately?
I can't remember the year.
I'll look it up right now.
It's anime. You can't confuse this with anything else.
It's 2001.
Space Odyssey.
Yeah, 2001.
Space Odyssey.
Spirited Away next week, everybody. Watch it. You could do that after you have your turkey and football and whatever else people do on Thanksgiving. But what I hope so. Okay, somebody right there. Spirited Away. I saw it. I can't watch it enough. Okay, this should be fun.
And 5-minute runtime.
But the runtime when it's a good movie doesn't seem that long. Just saying.
Well, we'll have to wait and see.
It's not anime.
It has Japanese. It's a Japanese animation studio. It's not considered anime.
Okay.
Although anime is technically Japanese animation, but it's a different style.
Okay. Not big on animation, but okay. All right. We have time for a poem. That's all I want to say.
You guys, I don't know if you deserve my Thanksgiving poem. after.
We tried.
Buddy deserves it. And Jason, the two of the other two, just don't
close your ears.
Okay. I have to, so I am going to read this year's poem that I'm going to read tomorrow. Are you ready? Here we go. In the darkness, a hush, in the light, a laugh, a voice that ebbs and flows through memory, enwrapping and encircling the heart, a voice that is a beacon, a lifeboat, a prayer, and a hope positioned at any port. That is family. In the morning, comfort, in the evening, once again, a face carved by its own story, both eternal and alive, draped in warmth and enriched by experience, a face that is a painting, a tale, with a powerful knowing of who you are and where you might be going. That is family. In a moment, rage, in another, frustration, a longing wrapped in anger, seething in sadness, and fueled by the heavy chains of expectations, a longing that dances with the vigor of youth and the tempers with time, with calm and with patience. That is family. In birth, an infant's promise, and death, a memory, a cycle that is never ending, ever growing, etching a legacy that sits as an albatross on our backs. A legacy that we defend, we deny, we resign ourselves to owning, memories that stretch beyond our grasp. That is family. At the table, a meal, together, a wish. That the voices never fade, lighting the dark. That the faces hold our tales, knowing our truth. That the longing sets us free, but brings us back home. That the legacy is always overflowing, never forgotten, no matter how far we roam. That is family.
Hello, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was this year's poem. And you guys, in the past year, I'm thankful for all of you. We've been here and you are family. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Don't put me up big while I'm crying. And all of you out there, we see your names. You come regularly. Your beautiful comments.
You are family.
Yeah.
You are family. I'm so grateful to you. That was beautiful.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. I love writing the poems. I have to get in the zone. And that's been our tradition now for a few years. And so we share, people either read a poem or they write a poem. And we get all kinds of different things from everybody. And it's just a fun, and some of them are funny. Some of them are emotional. It's just awesome. So it's a good tradition.
Beautiful tradition.
I actually have a poem.
Okay.
Especially for this occasion. I just wrote it right now. The whiz is over. Thank Royal Dover. I went to church. The priest's name was Ben Dover. I don't have any more rhymes because I'm out of times.
Heartfelt and beautiful. Heartfelt and beautiful, Richard Leo.
I really thought I was going to start with "There Once Was a Man from Nantucket." So I
feel like I started that one last week.
Oh, that's right. Where I heard it.
Right. Family show. All right, everybody, want to talk about anything that you have coming up? That anybody wants to talk about? Upcoming in the next bit where they can see you or anything you want. Anybody didn't know? No?
I did write Llewellyn's little book of Yule. As you can see, I already have my hat on. I already am wearing yet another Krampus t-shirt because he is the reason for the season. I am obsessed with this time of year. It is my favorite. If you love Yule and you find me funny at all, you might enjoy this book.
You'll enjoy this book.
Yeah.
Everything rhymes. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Again, probably all of us are having a week or so off for it because this is a family holiday. If anybody wants to be in the Dallas, Texas area, December 9th, I will be at the Old Park Hotel doing a public ghost tour and stay over if you want to join my partner in Paraflix, Natalie, with myself. And in January, I'm going to be at Hanover Tavern Paracon, which is a fundraiser for Hanover Tavern. Like us all, follow us all, look at us on social media and our website, go to our YouTube page, go to all of our pages, and then make sure you go to Mystery Control, because in Mystery Control, you could have a pillow with Richard Leal's face on it.
Yeah, here it comes, here it comes.
Yeah, wearing Natty's power pants. You're going to have power panties, Richard Leal's face. have Grow Witch shoes designed by Jason. You could have so much magic. Oh, yeah. Wait, right there. You are our best model there. There is.
And then it keeps coming.
My whole wardrobe.
You must have a really big closet, Courtney.
I have a really big laundry pile, and every time I need something new, I order it on mysterycontrol.com instead of cleaning it. So I just have a pile of dirty clothes and I have to get new ones because I'm
so that's where the fun. Tears are coming from.
Yeah.
You're scarred.
Oh, I can't wait for this.
You can have this. You could be the only one on your block to send Celebrate Deliciously. Have people ask. And that guy comes with everything.
And I didn't mind it.
So not bad at all. So you guys, Mystery Control. And for Black Friday, code PATTY, P-A-T-I, 25% off everything on Mystery Control. We are practically giving it away. So check it out. Like us, follow us, celebrate Thanksgiving, whether it's on the Thursday day we think. Every day, it's about thankfulness, you guys. If we incorporate that into our life, guess what? Our life gets better just for the appreciation and thankfulness of it. So my wish for everybody is for you guys to sit back and just appreciate everything you do have in your life.
Yeah,
that's lovely. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else before we, it's time. One, what day? Thanksgiving cackle.
Should we gobble?
Yes.
Okay. I've never goggled in public. So
first time for everything.
And you guys out there, you have to do it with us, because if we look weird to anybody in our households, you have to look weird to anybody in your households. They're getting used to the cackle, so now we have to shock them with the gobble. Okay. Yeah. One, two, three. I'm